I admire anyone who aspires for the top. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. I admire anyone who aspires for the top. I find it difficult to appreciate a person who achieves the top and then is ill-equipped to function there. Now, why would a person arrive at the top, achieve the top, and be ill-equipped to function there? Why would that happen to a person? Why would a person become the chairman of the board, the chief executive officer, the president, or, you know, the top of some company or corporation, and not be able to handle it? Well, I think two things are at issue here. One, there are many corporations that are influentially operated by a man or a woman, and this person has children. And the children are in their 30s, 20s, 30s, and the person wants to retire. And so he wants his child to be put into that position. Now, the kid does not have the ability to be in that position. However, every single person on the face of the earth has the ability to be in that position. Every single person on the face of the earth has the ability to be in the top position of any company, any corporation, any government, or anything. Okay? I admire anyone who aspires for the top. Now, how can I make a bland statement like that, saying that any person, regardless of their intelligence or genius or lack of it, could be a good, effective administrator? Now, the thing that most people don't recognize is that if a person doesn't have talent, they usually adjure to someone who does. They usually give over responsibility to someone who does. Now, here's a young man. He's 32. And he is uninspired. You know what uninspired means? Has no inspiration. He has no desire. He's an uninspired young man. And he likes to play tennis. He likes to play golf. He likes to play. And his daddy and mommy can afford it. So he's out playing. They've never asked him to leave home, so he never even got married. He likes to play around with the girls. He likes to do all the things he likes to do. But he really doesn't like the business. So, let's just say mommy and daddy were bumped off in a car accident. And so here he is in charge. It's his company. 100%. So, he knows that his mother and father are very exceptional people. And they had people, and these people that they had, they let operate the business. They had the chief financial officer, the chief operations officer, the this and the that and the other thing. And he looks at them and he says, "You guys been doing a good job? Keep it up. I'll check in every Friday to see how things are going." So he goes off on his world tours, flies back and forth, you know, quite quickly. He enjoys playing golf. He enjoys the games, not the slightest bit worried about his company. And he has a good crew that are doing it. And so every Friday he comes in, and he has a unbiased financial advisor. You understand? Mm-hmm. An unbiased financial advisor who is just paid a certain amount of money to advise him and is given no authority, is given no stocks in the company, nothing, just paid to do the job. And so then he takes this fellow with him. He goes to the annual, to the Friday board meetings, and he sits in a board meeting, and he says, "Okay, what have we done? Let me see the progress report." And so he gives the progress report to the advisor, and the advisor looks it over, and he said, "Weak here, strong here, weak here, strong, strong," you know. And so the young man says, "Okay, I take his advice that these are the weak areas, and that's it." Now, He does not take his advisor with him into the meeting. He keeps his advisor in his office and lets him hear what's going on. He doesn't want his advisor to be influenced personally or any other way by the people, by the staff. And so, as far as the staff knows, he's making these decisions by himself. You know, little thing in his ear, you know. And so, every Friday, he makes sage comments about finances and things like that, that his advisor is advising him. And then, after a 20-minute meeting, he gets up and he says, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing fine. I'll make a memo for a couple little recommendations, but otherwise you're doing just fine. So then he goes back to his office, and his financial advisor is there and makes some recommendations, and they give them to the people who are to have them, and then he's off to play golf again. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think he's going to run a successful organization? Very successful. He keeps his nose out of it. He has no idea how it's supposed to be run or what's supposed to do. All he knows is that it's supposed to make money. And it's supposed to keep a happy organization. Now, the difficulty that a lot of people have when they go in to operate an organization is that they feel they should know something. They feel they should know how it runs. When Kathy McMahon, Dunn, whatever the names are she's had, my sister's kid, was working for a woman, working for a company, the man died. And the company was left to the wife. And the wife had never been down to the company except to go down and say, hello, everybody, how are you? Make her personal appearance. So when her husband died, she was sad. She had to run the thing all to herself now. And it was making at least $2 million a year, which is reasonable. All payments, all things paid, all salaries and everything else, and $2 million profit. So that's not bad. So then her husband was dead. And so she called in all of the heads of departments and said, okay, what are you doing? And they reported to her. She said, keep it up. And then she said, I will see you all in 3 months. And they thought, wow. So during that 3 months, she had advisors come and instruct her in all aspects of the business, each individual aspect, marketing, you know, sales, production, catching. It was a tuna fleet, you know. They worked on, not tuna, but on fish. They went out in the ocean, caught fish. They brought them in and canned them. And you remember the story. And so she didn't know anything about it, but she had herself informed. And she's a bright woman. And so she was informed for this period of 3 months. And at the end of 3 months, she was a wizard. She did not have to go through all the growing pains of ups and downs while it was coming. All she did was to have the advice of these outstanding men who could inform her how, what sort of things she should expect from the business and what sort of responses she should expect from her staff. So she went in and she called each of the staff in separately and she talked to them and told them exactly what she had in mind, asked their opinion. If they agreed, she kept them. If they didn't agree, she released them. And virtually every one of them stayed. There's about two or three that felt she was stupid, you know. And, of course, you don't have someone working for you that thinks you're stupid. So the first year she had the business, the profit statement was $8 million. It had only been two with her husband. The second year, it was $100 million. And the next year it was much, much higher, $500-600 million. Now, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of growth. Now, Where did the growth come from? Well, her husband was wise and built a good business, but he was afraid to take chances because he didn't want to lose everything he had. Well, she didn't care. She had taken plenty of the money and put it in stocks and bonds so she would have an income regardless of what she was doing. And then she ran the business for the fun of it. She ran the business because it was a joy. She kept the finest people she could have to do the job, and then she just ran the business, and it was a joy. She was aspiring to the top. And a person who gets to the top and doesn't make the most of it is silly. Now, the young man who played golf all the time, he wasn't silly. He put it into the hands of responsible people, and the business went on, and he continued his joyride through life. Now, one moment he may wake up. One moment he may decide to get married. He may decide to have a family. And then he may decide that his boys or girls or family are going to want to run the business. By that time, it's much larger than it had been when he got it from his parents. And he will say he doesn't want them to learn how he learned. Yet how he learned was a very excellent way. We sometimes depreciate how we learn merely because it is not the standard way of learning. It is not the approved procedure. While it may very well have been the most exquisite procedure one could go, because he had no interest in it. So he gave it into the hands of people who he trusted and he could have interest in it. Now that's great, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's really great. I admire anyone who aspires for the top, because if they aspire for the top, they're going to have the wisdom to be at the top and not be possessed by being at the top. You see, this woman's husband was afraid to make or take chances because he had built that business up so beautifully himself. But the wife, she took enough money so that she could always live forever very comfortably. It was in a separate funding thing that wasn't in something that could be taken from her. And then she just went in and operated the business as a joy, as a harmony. And all the business did was go right straight up through the ceiling. And that's beautiful. And this is what we can do too. Every human being on the face of the earth has an aspiration to be a little better than they were, or be a little better than they are, and some a lot better. And how do you get to be a little better than you were or are? How can you be a lot better than you were? What must you do? You must continue liking yourself and liking what you do in life. Now, if you are doing things in life that are tedious for you, and unpleasant for you, and not at all rewarding, well, that's not the thing for you. Now, you may be the president of the company, but your interest is in janitorial work. And so you take care of the janitorial work. And you let your vice presidents take care of the company. And so you say, well, it's just the opposite way around. No, that's what your love is. Go for it. The man was happiest as he could be doing his janitorial work. Why do you think some people like to play golf? Because they don't like the business. Mm-hmm. Why do some people like to go off and travel? Why do the Swiss spend most of their year on vacation? Every time you talk to a Swiss person, they are on vacation or they're going on vacation. I mean, and this is not bad, but if they liked their work so much, they wouldn't be doing that. If they found their work so satisfying, so fulfilling, they wouldn't do everything they could to be released from it often. Because that's maybe a third of the year that they're not working. A third of the year. You start adding up those time offs and days off and Saturday and Sundays off, and you got a third of the year in no time at all. Really? That adds up. Now, what if you were to take that third of the year and just say to yourself, what I really like doing is carving statues, or I really like becoming an Olympic swimmer. So you take the third of the year time that you have, and you go and train yourself as an Olympic swimmer. Now, do you think you're going to be a happier businessman? Definitely. Do you think you're going to get everything done? Definitely. Do you think you're going to be an Olympic swimmer? Definitely. Does an Olympic swimmer have to be a person who has always lived a very athletic life? No. Does an Olympic swimmer have to be someone who knows how to swim? Well, when you're an Olympic swimmer, yes. But before that, no. You don't have to know how to swim. You learn how. And how do you learn how to swim? You learn how to swim correctly. You follow me? You don't learn how to swim as you did as a child, with flailing your arms around and swimming and thinking you're doing good. But you take your hands out there and you bring the water back with your hands in such a beautiful way. Your fingers aren't open, you know. And you're not clopping through the water like splash, 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 like a dog paddle. You swim with exquisite skill. But you see, this is what it means when you aspire to the top. And you can aspire to the top in doing anything. And you'll find that many executives aspire to many tops. They aspire to be the top executive, and when they are playing tennis, the top tennis player, and when they're playing golf, the top golf, when they're swimming, the top swimmer. And why does the top executive who's got the most money build the most perfect Olympic pools in their backyard and tennis courts and gymnasiums and stuff? Why do they do that? Why don't they just build some sort of second-rate thing? Because the amount of time they're going to use it, it certainly doesn't need to be top grade. But they do everything from the top. Everything with skill, everything with genius. You can too. Find out what it is that delights your heart, and then go for it. Well, I'm here at the monastery. Well, if that's what delights your heart, being here at the monastery, go for it. Be the best monk that ever walked the face of the earth, you know? If being here at the monastery doesn't delight your heart, what does? So, you want to go and be a toilet cleaner, huh? That's not so bad. But it's just whatever you want. Now, when Gregor was in New Zealand, he was a greenskeeper, remember? And he pretends he didn't like it, because he knows some people think it's menial. But do you think a greenskeeper thinks his work is menial? No way. A greenskeeper, a person who's a professional greenskeeper, he's proud of his work. He goes to the Rotary Club. What's your job? I'm a greenskeeper. Oh, what do you do? I keep the greens green. No, I have a staff of people. We keep the largest lawn in town in shape, you know, and the golf course. We keep it all beautiful, and we keep the weeds down. You will not find weeds on our fairways. You will not find weeds on our putting greens. You will find them all exquisitely done. I mean, this is a professional work. This is something that takes moment by moment attention, and I love it. And I'm outdoors, and I'm just having a great ball, you see? So, you see, whatever you do, do it with all your heart, and do it lovingly and joyfully and respectfully, and you'll be a wonderful success. I admire anyone who aspires to the top, because when you aspire, you're just quite likely to get there. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
Mm-hmm. I love you. I love you.